Welcome to another episode of the Brothers Chat podcast. I am your host, Taiwo, and we've got a couple OGs in the house. We have ourselves a little bit of a reunion. I'll start with Richard. What's good, brother?
Very well, very well. Seems like we're going back into the old days when it's just the three of us. But back to where we first started.
Oh, I feel like I'm in the twilight zone right now. And of course, we have the Chelsea politician. How are you holding up, Boaz? I know it's been a tough night for you, but you made it. And that makes me very happy.
In a tough couple of days, but I'm doing all right.
I just got to brush ourselves off. Before we get into it, I'm just going to go through some of the obligatory plugs. Don't forget to follow us on all the socials. That's at The Brothers Chat on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find us on Apple and Spotify, where you'll be able to listen to all our unpopular opinions. And don't forget to click on that subscribe button while you're there. We are recording at approximately 11:14 on a gloomy Champions League night. Well, it's only gloomy if you're a Chelsea fan. But we are going to keep it in the Prem, luckily for Boaz. But before
we... Luckily for us.
It's not very lucky because we'll get back into the Prem. It's not lucky.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
I'm much rather talk about Real Madrid, to be honest.
I think the Prem was worse.
Yeah, I do.
Boaz, relax. I haven't finished the intro, bro. You're already getting triggered. Oh, relax. Anyway, where was I? We'll get into this past weekend's matches. But before we do that, I'd just like to give a special shout out to my GOAT, Karim Benzema, who scored another hat trick in a successive knockout game against PSG and Chelsea. He's only the fourth guy to do that, I think, if I'm not mistaken. In the Champions League, behind Messi, Ronaldo, and Adriano. So he's in a steam company. But we won't talk about Chelsea's match against Real Madrid. Instead, we'll talk about Chelsea v Brentford, which a bit of a shock result. 4-1 to Brentford at Stamford Bridge. Boaz, what happened?
I think the toll of Chelsea being sold is weighing heavy on our shoulders. I think, watching both these games, both Brentford, both Real Madrid, I know we're not talking about Champions League, but I don't know. We just look lethargic. Like, I just don't see us scoring any goals. Like, I'm not going to lie, the Rudiger goal was all right. It was pretty good.
Yeah, very good goal. Very good goal. I feel like he does that every match, every Chelsea match I've seen. He's trying to take a shot.
He shoots every game. So like one of these had to go in, to be fair. But like moments later we're drawing. It's like, I don't know, like Chelsea is just a shambles at the back. Yeah, me and Richard were speaking earlier, like last season was our season where it was almost impossible for us to concede goals. Like our defense was solid, like Mendy, best goalkeeper in the world. But this season, it's just a completely different kettle of shit. Completely different kettle of fish. Like, it's just a shambles at the back. No one really knows what they're doing. No one knows what their tasks are. We're conceding goals left, right, center. Mendy looks like Bambi on ice when he's on the ball. Like, I don't even know. Yeah, like he could have conceded a goal in that Brentford game where he like passed the ball to I think Tony or something. I don't know. Like, I don't know where to start. You many United fans are used to this because you're always in the mud. But as a Chelsea fan, I don't know. I'm not used to this anymore.
I'm going to ignore that.
Sorry.
Why do you think Tuchel, because obviously you talk about it being terrible at the back. Why do you think Tuchel opted for a back four instead of a back three? He went with, was it Alonso left back, Aspilicueta right back, and then Rudiger and Thiago Silva. Why do you think he converted
because
of a back three?
I think he wanted to rest some players. I think he kind of thought that Brentford would be easier opposition, like even gave like Loftus-Cheek a game. I'm not saying they're not good players, but obviously, it's that kind of like rotation which you expect under Tuchel. A back four has worked for us at times. It's not something we haven't done before. For some reason, it really just didn't work out. Alonso at the back is a shambles as well. Like, him defensively, especially in a back four, I don't think works. But yeah, we're losing the ball everywhere. And whenever the ball was coming like towards us, we just had problems. No one knew what they were doing. I'm not too sure whether they were prepared for it, but even like if we think about centre backs that could have played that third position, like Christensen, I don't rate. He's going at the end of the season. And yeah, who really do we have that can be that third centre back, to be honest?
Yep. I mean, Chalobah obviously been in and out of the team. I know there's probably some other defenders that I'm missing as well.
But yeah, I think we do have quite a few defenders which are missing. Like, I think Chalobah is like having some fitness issues, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I know he was out for quite a bit with an injury. So I think, yeah, like, no one really wants to rush him back.
I know Saar had a run as well.
Yeah, but even Saar, like, he has moments where, yeah, like, he's good, but there's moments where, like, he's a championship defender at best.
That's a big statement.
I don't know. Like,
is that a general consensus around Chelsea fans, or is it just the Chelsea fans I talk to,
like, we just don't rate him. Like, the only reason he's getting a chance in the team is because we don't have anyone else that can play in defence at the moment. He's the best of what we got. But, like, for example, like, I don't know why we let... what's his face? I can't even pronounce his name. Guri? The one that plays at Crystal Palace?
Yeah.
I believe we let him go last season. Even the fact that, like, yeah, like, we let Zuma go as well. I don't know what we're thinking, to be honest.
Yeah, I guess hindsight is a wonderful thing. I don't think they would have envisioned that you'd have this many injuries.
But even Tomori went as well. Like,
I almost forgot about him.
We can't let...
They have a habit of doing this, don't they? Obviously, Lamptey as well.
Yeah.
You guys...
Livermento as well. We let a lot of defenders go. So we've only got ourselves to blame, to be honest.
Yeah. Richard, you've been unusually quiet. You've always got a lot of wonderful things to say about Chelsea. So what wonderful things do you have to say about Chelsea this weekend?
Well, for me...
this weekend.
You know what? I think it kind of echoes what I was saying about Chelsea the last season when they won the Champions League.
What were you saying, in case people don't remember?
they rode their luck throughout the whole Champions League campaign. And even in their running towards the league, I feel like they rolled their luck. Like, they honestly were not that good, and Chelsea fans literally got very, very gassed. But I feel like now, Chelsea fans would use obviously the politics and everything that's going on around their club as an excuse for what's happening on the pitch. That might have a part to play, but for me, I still feel like, yeah, this team is not great. Like, for me, on paper, yeah, they got quality players, but I still feel like, yeah, their team obviously is not good enough to win a Premier League in the likes of City and Liverpool, and nowhere close to winning the Champions League. I don't know how they won it last year. But I feel like every time they got through Atletico and Real Madrid, I was like, I don't know how you lot are doing it. But you lot are not good enough to be winning it, to be honest. You're not the best team in Europe. But
yeah, this is crazy. The fact that you said they were lucky.
He's so jealous, man.
They were lucky to win the Champions League, Richard. That's a bit harsh, man.
They were lucky to win.
I mean, obviously, there's an element of luck involved, but you can't say they were lucky to win the Champions League.
No, I think they was, because I mean, we're not really doing a Champions League segment now. But
I know. It's just the comment you made. I just felt that was blasphemy, man. And you're lucky, more Chelsea fans are on there, but it's just
one thing I'll say is that, yeah, I'll repeat it. I said it to Bowles earlier. I'm like, last season when they beat Real Madrid, they were like, everyone saying, oh yeah, because Real Madrid have got slower, they're slower, the players are slower, they're aging. And I'm like, well, they're a year older this year, and they still whooped you. So I was like, for sure. I'm like, yeah, you definitely got lucky against them last year.
Okay, I'll go back to the politics side of things. Do you feel as if with the uncertainty around Chelsea that it will it would affect the players' mental faculties with everything that's been going on? And
I don't really think it should. To be honest, I feel like a lot of the Chelsea players, even before the politics and all that really escalated, that they weren't performing as well as they really should do. And I feel like, obviously now, where it's clear, like it's the way they've been playing, it's longing out, like they're consistently not great. And obviously now, obviously the politics is coming into play with it. They're kind of forcing this agenda now that is because of that what's going on around the club. But I don't feel like that's the actual problem.
You feel as if some Chelsea fans may be using it as an excuse?
I feel like they definitely are using it as an excuse.
Well, so what's Man United's excuse?
We have no excuses, bro. Why do you keep deferring back to Man United? Right?
I'm just trying to
deflect. Deflection.
Like yeah, I'm saying, you lot are the Champions League winners.
Yeah. Your fans were talking about winning the Premier League this season. I think we have to have a serious conversation because what's the points deficit now between you and who's the fourth place team at the moment? Tottenham?
I want to say that there's maybe 2 points. I could be wrong about that.
Exactly. Bro, if Chelsea don't finish third, we're going to have a serious conversation, bro.
Because listen,
this was a team that was supposed to push Liverpool and City. They were supposed to break that barrier. It was supposed to be that team. Now we're talking about Arsenal or Tottenham possibly overtaking them.
Look, what, like they overtook you guys? But all I'm saying is,
keep deflecting, bro.
We didn't win a Champions League. We didn't win a Champions League last year, Boaz.
Yeah, no.
We're not talking
about United. Everyone knows about the situation, Manchester United, and we'll talk about it more when we get to that segment. But we're talking about Chelsea, so let's stick to Chelsea.
Look, yeah. I think undoubtedly the politics which are happening around Chelsea will impact the way you play. Like, even if you work in your job, I don't know, let's say, yeah, you work for a company and like they're going through some sort of turmoil, there's some sort of like uncertainty about like whether you will have a job in the future or, yeah, like who's going to be paying you. That's undoubtedly going to have an impact on the way that you work. And that's what's happening to Chelsea players. Like, there are a lot of like things which are happening in the background which are terrible. Like, there are a lot of freelance Chelsea people that no longer are employed anymore. Because, yeah, they're on like 0-hour contracts or whatever. But there are a lot of things which happen which, yeah, are now affecting, yeah, like your livelihood. Obviously, Chelsea have had issues from before this recent political events. That is true. We haven't been consistent. But this is just, yeah, this is another reason on top of the other reasons why, yeah, we aren't performing as well as we should. Do I think we can rescue it? Yeah, I do think so. Like, Chelsea in the past have shown that, yeah, we're resilient, that we can turn up when we need to turn up. We can turn those results at the right time. It's why we won the Champions League. It's why we won the Super Cup. We were in the finals of the League Cup. It's not all going wrong. There are some positives. But yeah, it's going to take some work. But yeah, we'll get there. Like, I'm not worried about that. It is a rough patch. But I'm understanding of the fact that, yeah, it's part of the journey. It's part of the process. Like, I remember Chelsea had like, yeah, like the transfer embargo for a season. I thought it was game over. We still came fourth. Still guaranteed a Champions League spot for the next season. So Chelsea have shown that even in difficult times, we can survive.
Are they still finishing third for you?
Look, I'm just happy that we can even think about coming third in the season. Like, I don't know, look at Derby County with their administration and they're like fighting for relegation. So it could be a lot worse. But I think that if we really dig deep, we think about the mistakes that we made. Tuchel has a real kind of heart-to-heart conversation with these Chelsea players. I think we can rescue a third position. To be honest, as long as we get Champions League football, I'm happy.
But you lot are really only, really only third because of every other team's shortcomings, to be fair.
But that's football, though.
I think that can be a tribute to every team, to be honest, bro. Like, you could say well, that.
I really don't think Chelsea, well, coming off last season, I don't think they should be suffering this badly in the league. You might say, okay, they're third, but from where they came from last season, it feels like, they've obviously dropped off, but they shouldn't be struggling this badly.
Yeah, I think it's important to put it into context as well, because obviously Liverpool and City have set the bar and literally they're in a completely different plateau in terms of what they want to achieve. And it's going to take a very, very... what's the word I'm looking for? Big team, per se? Break that barrier?
But even if we come third, that's still an improvement from what we did last season.
Not performance-wise.
Pardon?
Not performance-wise.
Well, we came fourth last season.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, your team should be performing a lot better. Not your position in the table. I'm talking about your performances.
I know, but like...
There's
so many things happening at the Chelsea Football Club that some things just aren't the same.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about the injuries that we've had, if you think about the politics that are going on, if you think about, contracts and other issues that are going on at the same time, like, there's a lot of things happening. Yeah, the whole Lukaku thing, like, the season is a completely different season to what it was last season.
Yeah.
Like, I think if all things were equal, if we didn't have the injuries, if all the things didn't go wrong, I don't think Chelsea will be in the same position that they're in now.
Yeah, I mean, Richard, what, do you not think Chelsea have improved since last season? At least marginally improved? Well, they've had their issues, but they didn't get to third place by accident.
I don't know. It's hard to say improved because there were parts of last season that I was impressed by. Because obviously in the past, I've always said Chelsea are a very boring team to watch, honestly. Very boring. But there were parts of last season where I was like, yeah, it surprised me. And I came to realization, I was like, you know what? Chelsea do play some decent football. They play some decent football. But this season, I don't know. There's just way too many mistakes. There's just obviously a lot of individual performances from certain players that they are capable of doing a whole lot better, but they're just not performing up to the level where they should be. Some to highlight are getting better. I can say, like Havertz for me, I can see an improvement in. But I can't really say that about anyone else.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You're talking like Chelsea are scrapping for Champions League qualification. I don't think it's as bad as...
But they should... Honestly, they should be. I feel like they might even get drawn into coming in about 3-4 games from now.
For me, I know they had a really bad result over the week.
They're going to be in a top four scrap in a couple of weeks.
No, I don't think so.
I would say, obviously, they had a really bad result over the weekend. Obviously, that's coupled with the Champions League result. But I think you just have to take those results in isolation, to be honest. Like, I think that was just a bad day at the office for Chelsea. I'd be surprised if they didn't win on the weekend. I don't know who they're playing on the weekend. Let's check my fixture list.
Chelsea have Southampton.
Yeah, so obviously Southampton are in decent form, but I would expect them to beat Southampton. So yeah, I think it's important to not get too drawn in.
Yeah, like
and yeah, if, but then they do have Arsenal and Tottenham, West Ham after that, though.
Look, but I'd
like to beat both of those teams, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm looking at the table now. So there's 5 points between Chelsea and Tottenham. We also have a game in hand. It's fine. I'm not worried.
I think if Chelsea can avoid losses in the respective fixtures,
as,
then...
long, as long as we beat Arsenal, we're okay. Like,
yeah.
West Ham are six. Like, they're 8 points behind us. They played two more games than us. The only real issue is maybe Arsenal, but we still got points ahead of them. So I'm not too worried yet.
Yeah.
It's coming to the end of the season anyway, so
yeah, I'd be surprised if Chelsea finished outside the top four. I think that'd be almighty capitulation. But I will say that they were supposed to be the team to compete with Liverpool, Manchester City. So,
yep.
Questions will still be there.
This is what we were expecting.
Mm-hmm. But it should be Man United.
Speaking of Man United, because Man United, this is the most Man United references that I've heard. Boaz, he spoke more about Manchester United
because he's on the defensive right now because he knows Chelsea on the ropes.
He's deflecting, but you know what? We'll make it easy for you. We'll transition into the next segment. It was.
I'm helping you.
Thank you.
These transitions.
Thank you. Anyway, it was Manchester United v Leicester, which ended in a score draw, 1-1. Courtesy of Fred and Iheanacho, who finally decided to find his cojones after the international stage. I swear to God, I didn't even say anything when that guy scored. But we don't talk about that here. Richard, did you watch the match?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Did you stay awake?
No, not all of it. Now, honestly... yeah, it was boring to watch, man. But you know what? Obviously, United don't have nothing to play for. Honestly, the United players were playing like they have nothing to play for.
How can they play like they have nothing to play for, Richard?
Because it feels like, okay, a lot of them have given up with this top four race. They're not in any cup competitions. They've got knocked out every single one of them. And it feels like, yeah, they literally got enough to play for. A lot of them feel like, oh yeah, they're not going to be playing with certain players next season. The whole team's going to change. I can't play into a system when I know I'm only going to be playing in the system for about 8 more games left of the season. I'm going to get a new manager. It's going to come with something new. So I feel like a lot of these United players are going through so many little mental things, challenges in their own game that I'm like, they don't want to put extra effort in.
What mental challenges do you think Marcus Rashford is going through when we didn't have a recognised striker and he was still on the bench?
He's a bit of a softie, I'm not going to lie. I think he's very sensitive to negative comments. For me, it feels like a lot of players can take a lot of that negative comments. They can read it in the media, they can read it everywhere. But they can use that to fuel their performances and they get better with it. To me, it feels like Rashford's out in the media. I feel like he does read a few things and listen to a few things that people say. And I feel like it's not helping him at all. Obviously, he's very, very talked about because of, obviously, of, again, politics and outside of football. And he's set a name for himself. And a lot of people do love him. And I feel like he's struggling to keep up that same energy off the pitch, on the pitch, while on the pitch. And I feel like a lot of the time, before even he was doing all these campaigns, he got criticised for trying a bit too much while on the ball when he played football. And I feel like sometimes he's trying to overcompensate certain times. And he feels like he's more need to do that now because he's trying to match what he's doing off the pitch. But yeah, he's finding it very, very difficult to do. So I feel like that's what playing a part in.
Yeah, but you said he's not putting in the work. He's not even getting the basic fundamentals right. Like, the application doesn't seem there. It almost feels as if he's lost his desire.
It's almost does, as it as does seem that way, out yeah.
of love. Not maybe that's too much of a strong statement, but he doesn't seem like the Marcus Rashford I saw when he debuted against Arsenal when he scored against Manchester City. You know, the guy that twisted Trent at Old Trafford. Like, he just doesn't seem like that Marcus Rashford. And yes, he might have distractions, but I don't know. I think there might be something else going on.
Yeah, but again, I feel like he probably feels like there are things that are better. There are things that he's actually better at than at football. So yeah. it seems like, yeah, his priorities for a while, yeah, they were outside of football. And obviously, I think now he's trying to get back into it, but he's, yeah. You know, like, for example, when you're studying for an exam and then you've got all these other little minor distractions, I don't know, like going out and partying or doing this and whatever, but then you know you've got to go back home to study. And then when you get your final grade, you feel like you flopped, but then you look back and you're like, oh, maybe I shouldn't have put so much time into this and this and this and this and this. And it's now affected my exam, my studies. I feel like similar things happen to Rashford with football.
Yeah.
And I feel like he does need a break. I think he does need a break from football for a while. I think if you tell him, all right, you're not gonna go to the World Cup, you are gonna be on the bench for the rest of the season. I feel like he does need it. He needs to train more, for sure. You'll have to tell him to train and stay extra hours in training and whatnot. But I feel like when it comes to games, like the intensity, especially that when we're fighting for a top four, we can't afford to play Rashford while he's feeling like this.
Yeah.
So I think United as a team, they suffer.
What's your thoughts on the Marcus Rashford situation, Boaz?
I think Rashford is giving a hard time. Like, yeah, he definitely has a confidence issue at the moment, but I think he definitely gets a lot more stick than other Man United players. A lot of Man United players are playing poorly at the moment. I'm not going to say any names because I could be here all day. But I definitely think, yeah, Rashford probably gets an unfair amount of stick. Maybe that's because of, yeah, his extracurricular activities. It's hard because I think as a footballer, as fans, we can't expect all footballers to be thick-skinned. Like, at the end of the day, they are human beings just like we are. Like, if someone says negative things about me, it's probably going to have an impact on me and how I kind of live my life. So, Man United fans can't, I don't know, publicly complain and say things, I don't know, on social media, but then also expect a player to ignore it at the same time. But I don't know what would help Rashford. I don't know at all. It's only him that can sort it out. It's what Southgate said. And I think he's right. Like, only Rashford knows what can help him in this situation. So yeah, we just need to give him time, I think. Whether that's time on the bench, time away from the club. But yeah, he needs time.
Yeah.
You know what?
I legit feel as if football fans sometimes feel that footballers are just robots, that they can switch it on and off again. I'm sorry, but it's not that simple. Like, I've said it, I don't think I mentioned it on this pod. You know, Marcus Rashford is the most abused footballer in the world.
Yeah.
The most abused footballer in the world. You're telling me that's not going to affect you mentally? You know, and I'll make reference to the situation that happened recently at Old Trafford when he reacted to the fan. Yeah, maybe he should have managed his emotions more accordingly. But any human's going to react in that situation. I'm sorry, but if you switch places with Marcus Rashford, you're reacting in that situation.
Yeah.
You have to remember that, like Boaz mentioned, like, players are human beings that have feelings. So it's obviously going to affect them.
Yeah, but I remember, you know, this happens to the most talented of footballers that are not fulfilling their full potential, innit? So it's like, everyone knew, obviously, Rashford was probably going to be the future star of United at one point. And we were like, oh yeah, this guy's going to be, I don't know, not say replace like say like Ronaldo. We had like Cristiano Ronaldo before, but we had high hopes for him, innit? Very, very high hopes because he showed glimpses of it. But then we know he's still, we know he's capable of it still. Every now and then we're like, oh yeah, we'll do a trick and trainer. Like, hey, he's still capable of it. Like, I mean, we've had that with Pogba as well. There were certain things, we know you're capable of doing a whole lot more. But then there's so many times where you're like, you're not performing like how you should do. And I feel like he gets stick because of that before. But I mean, yeah, now it's like, I think it's because it happens so often. Like he has so many dry patches of form. Like it becomes annoying. I'm not gonna lie, it does become annoying.
It's not just dry patches of form now. It's literally a downward trajectory at this point in time.
Like, yeah, at this point, yeah.
Any better? Like he'd have these little patches where he's in form, but it seems as if every match he gets worse and worse. So, you know, I don't want this to be the Marcus Rashford show, but is there any coming back for him?
I feel like there is a way back, but obviously that's all mental, isn't it? I feel like technically on the pitch, he can still do it, but obviously, yeah, he's got to work on. There are things he's got to work on in aspects of the game, like reading the game better. He's got to read the game better. And yeah, it's a difficult one for him because you can't be too hard on him. We realize that when you go too hard on him, he's like this. He ends up being like this. So being hard on him doesn't really help. It's hard to say really what to do for him. A lot of people say, you know what, let's just get rid of him. So some fans want to sell him. Some fans want to give him a chance, but I'm like, how many chances do you really want to give to a player? I honestly don't know, but I feel like there is a way back for him. He needs the right role models around him. I feel like even with a player like Ronaldo in the team, a lot of people don't actually take tips of him, actually, when they really should do, to be honest. Because I feel like Ronaldo could be a very, very good example for Rashford.
Yep, yep.
Mentally.
No better examples than Cristiano Ronaldo. Rich, I'll stay on you. Do you feel as if Rangnick should take some blame? Obviously, he stuck with the same team that played Manchester City. He didn't work against Manchester City. Against Leicester. Why do you think he's persistent playing Bruno Fernandes as a number nine, which is obviously not his natural position? Then you've got Pogba playing that position. Why do you think he's persistent with this?
I mean, I understood what Ragnar was doing. I mean, there's a lot of times we've come onto the show and said Bruno can play and has actually played as a false nine. Whether it was intentional or unintentional, I'm not sure, but he has played that role. And I felt like when I saw the lineup, I was like, it could work. Visibly seeing it didn't. You can blame Rangnick, but no, I can't totally blame him for it because I've talked about that formation and the possibility that it could actually work in the past. So it will sound contradictory of me to blame him fully, but it just didn't work. It just didn't work for the players, to be honest. I don't think it's totally his fault.
Yeah, if it is more the players than the manager.
Yeah, I think it's definitely more than a place because...
I mean, this has become a recurring theme, hasn't it? Down tools after a while and then they just aim the blame at the manager. But I think Rangnick has opened a lot of eyes and a lot of players have shown themselves what they are.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's true. Yeah, it's not looking great for the players on that end because if some players do want to leave, it doesn't really help their cause the way that they're performing, because it honestly it makes them look like to a next manager, to a next team that potentially wants to buy some of these players. Like, is this what we're going to get? Is this how you're going to play when you come to us? It doesn't help them. It doesn't help United. It's like we're stuck. We're almost stuck with a lot of these dead end players. We're going to be stuck with them because, yeah, nobody wants them. And how they play, nobody wants them.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting summer.
You guys want Ragnick to stay, even as like a director of, well, whatever his role will be.
It depends in what capacity, and I don't even think Manchester United know what capacity, because there's been no real clarification. All I keep hearing is the consultancy, but what is a consultant? What is he going to consult them on? Obviously, we have ideas, but nothing's really been clarified. So. But ideally, I want him to be in the hierarchy, but I need to know what his role is and how much input he's having in.
Fair enough.
If you believe reports, obviously he's had an input in the next manager. I'm not going to name that manager, but obviously the links are getting stronger.
Are you happy with the names which are being rumored?
I'm relatively happy, but I'm just going to buy my time and see what happens. Like there's a lot.
Even Van Gaal said he shouldn't go there.
Yeah, but Van Gaal, and shout out to Liz Van Gaal, who came out recently and said that he had cancer. My wishes go out to him and
wishes do go out to him. Yeah.
Well, yeah, his family as well.
Yeah, but yeah, we made reference to that. Yeah, obviously, Luis Van Gaal, you know, had his stint at Manchester United. But I don't know, I feel as if. It's not sour grapes, but...
Fair enough.
Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, unless anyone has anything to say on the count of Manchester United. Actually, yeah, Richard, do you think Bruno Fernandes was warranted his new contract?
Yes.
The basic just of... this week, last weekend's performance, but obviously he's not been putting up the numbers that he's infamous for. So,
So he's warranted another contract for sure. I feel like for what he's done, if I disregard this season, for what he's done, he's made a very, very big impact for United, and I feel like. We do need him for the next couple of years. Whether we're going to change a few players and how we're going to play, I still feel like he's going to be instrumental to the way we play. Because at the end of the day, like he is one of our most creative players, or the most creative in regards to going forward. So we do need him. So we'll probably do have to have him for another couple of years. But that's also another thing. If we're gonna carry on playing like we did in the last couple of years, you probably get sick and tired of playing for us.
You feel as if we should be building our team around. Obviously, the new manager is gonna come in and he's probably gonna have his own ideologies and he's gonna lay his own blueprint. Do you feel as if ultimately Bruno should be the guy that the team should be centered around? You feel he's good enough for it?
Yes, I think so. There's obviously certain things about him where I'm just like, I find infuriating sometimes. I don't like the way he moans a lot. He loves a good moan. That's one thing I really don't like about him. But in my opinion, I feel like we should be building our team actually more around Pogba than Bruno, to be honest. But the thing is, Bruno has got more commitment to Man United than Pogba does. So,
well,
I would have pivoted them.
Let's put context into this. How long has Pogba been at Manchester United?
Yeah, well, obviously for a lot longer, but I feel like he's running out of patience with United, obviously, because he's been out there for so long and he's won no titles.
Exactly. And you did make mention to Bruno, and if it still persisted, and when I say this, I mean mediocrity, he would get to a certain point where he gets fed up. Do you not feel as if Bruno got fed up that that might affect his performances? I'm not going to make too many excuses for Pogba, because I do feel as if he's should have done better, but I do feel as if the club didn't help him either. No, so you don't feel as if the club don't help Bruno? That,
yeah, but I feel like under the new manager that we're going to have, which is most likely going to be Ten Hag.
Breaking news.
Well, this is what I'm hearing from my sources. but if it is him, yeah, then things will be on the up. Things are looking like they will be on the up. We'll be playing. We'll need players, more creative players like Bruno and Pogba. But I mean, obviously with Pogba, it's more like, okay, a new manager comes, it looks better, we're getting better signings. But I mean, how long now? Because time is ticking for him as well. Like, he's what, 29, I think.
Yeah, he's at that point. He should be getting into his prime.
Yeah, so it almost feels like, okay, well, I don't need another reset.
Yeah.
It doesn't have the years in him to have another reset. Bruno, I think he's about 27, 28?
Yeah.
But again, like, he hasn't had the career that that Pogba's had. Like, Pogba's been, what, a bright prospect and one of the most talented players on the planet for years. Bruno hasn't. Bruno, people have only really noticed about Bruno being like this for the last maybe 2 or 3 years. To be honest, yeah, it is Pogba out of the two of them. It's Pogba that deserves to move on and find more success, because United is gonna take a lot more time. You have to be a lot more patient with this United team.
Yeah, honestly, I feel as if the Pogba ship has sailed. I feel like at this point he needs to leave if he wants to have any sort of legacy. You know, sometimes it doesn't work out. All the talent in the world, but if you can't apply yourself at least consistently.
Yeah.
Then yeah. I think we'll move on from Man United.
We can.
We can move on to another top four rival, Spurs, who absolutely thrashed Newcastle 5-1. I think, what's it, five? How many defenders? Davis, Doherty, Royale. So four defenders on the score sheet and no Harry Kane. Who would have believed that? guys, did you watch the game? And if you did, what did you think? Spurs, were you impressed?
I didn't watch the game. I did catch up a bit, but I was impressed. I was impressed with Tottenham. I'm more impressed about the attitude coming into this game. Because obviously it hasn't really gone to plan in the previous times. Obviously, when you know that every game is important at this point in the season. It's good to see them come out like that, actually. Because they look more serious. It's hard to say, judging off one game, it takes a few games to really see if they're really, really serious about getting into the top four or not. But it's a good start, because coming after the international break, Chelsea flopped, Arsenal did as well. United didn't get 3 points. Obviously, City and Liverpool are in a different league, because they're playing for a title. So Tottenham were really the only team out of anyone that's trying to fight for top four, which actually proved like they really won it.
Yeah. Are they getting in your top four?
Over the length of, let's say, what, there's about 8 games left. I'm just going off history, innit? I don't feel like they'll get into the top four.
If the history, you think the history will catch up to them?
Yeah, I think it will, but I feel like when I'm looking at some of the games that they got left, it's in their favour.
Yeah. Boaz, what's your thoughts? Do you feel as if, well, firstly, were you impressed with Tottenham on Sunday? And do you think they will get into the top four?
I think Tottenham are looking like a good side. They're playing well. Like, I think that the signing of Kulusevski. I think it was a good signing, actually. Like, I think he's partnering up well with Kane and Son. He likes to go forwards. Like, it's obviously been the Kane and Son show for a while now, and I think he's adding a lot more for defence to think about. They're playing well. And I think there's some a growing level of consistency happening at Tottenham. Obviously, they've always been like a hit and miss sort of side, but as of late, they've been playing well. Sometimes results haven't gone their way, but overall, they've played well. Will they make it to the top four? I think it's out of them and Arsenal. To some extent, West Ham, but I think West Ham are a bit too adrift. I think based on current form, I would think Arsenal would take it above them rather than Tottenham. I think Arsenal are just playing well. They've got better players as a result. But it'll be tight between them two.
Yeah, definitely going to be. I feel personally it's going to be between us two. And I feel as if a lot will be decided in the North London derby in a few weeks. One thing I will say is that they look a lot more settled. I think it's probably like the third or fourth time that Conte's played the same team. A lot more settled. There's a lot more cohesion. You can see that other players are contributing. Like we said, it's not just the Son and Harry Kane show. We've got defenders that are contributing to goals now. So they've obviously clicked. Conte has made some shrewd signings. Not just Kulusevski, but Bentancur, who I've been impressed with.
Yeah, he's very good. Yeah.
He's been very impressive. So, yeah, I feel as if Tottenham are clicking just at the right time. And they could make that late surge and towards the top four. Yes, they're very capable of capitulating, but the same rhetoric going to be applied to Arsenal as well. So it'll be very interesting to see who gets it. I know we mentioned West Ham. I think their concentration will be in the Europa League. I think they've got Lyon, which will be a difficult game as well. So I think they've put essentially their eggs in that basket. So yeah, I think they'll just fall short. But yeah, it'll be an interesting little scrap for the top four. And we'll see what happens. But how impressed were we with Harry Kane? I know he didn't get on the score sheet, but he was very instrumental in. How much of a complete centre forward is Harry Kane?
He has a lot of skills. Like, he can do a lot of things, whether it's set up play, scoring goals. He's the sort of player that can literally play any position on the pitch. He's got it all. And obviously that's why Man City wanted him. But obviously he came into the season not at his best, whether that was, because of the failed transfer or whatever. But something's happened and the real Harry Kane is coming out and he's enjoying playing football, I think.
Do you feel the same way, Richard?
He's... I mean, how many seasons have we seen Harry Kane? He's always been a late bloomer in every season.
But he hasn't played this specific role. Obviously, we've always known he's been a prolific goal scorer, but just the way he's playing, the way he's setting people up, the way he's almost playing that quarterback role. Pulling the strings and got more... what's the saying? More sails to your boat? More strings to your boat? Whatever it's called. Anyway, you know what I mean.
He definitely pulls the strings to Tottenham. He continues to do so consistently. Yeah, he's their talisman. And yeah, he definitely is worth, like, he's in that 100 mil bracket as a player, to be honest. He'll continue to be that way for a while, to be honest, because he's an incredible player. Honestly, he's incredible to watch a lot of the time. Like, his technical ability is incredible. So, yeah, Tottenham cannot be Tottenham or fighting for a top four without him.
As if he's got a big move in him.
I still feel that there could be a big move in him. A lot of the time, for me, it depends on the manager that he's got. I feel like having Conte helped in his decision to stay at Tottenham, to be honest. And yeah, I feel like, yeah, if they do get into the top four, then yeah, I don't think he'd move. I think if they finish out the top four, he'd contemplate again.
Yeah.
Especially when you're going into a World Cup as well. Like, I feel like, yeah, he'd probably move somewhere before the World Cup starts.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm inclined to agree with that. But yeah, I'll move on from the Tottenham segment and get to another match that took place in London. This time it was Crystal Palace v Arsenal. Arsenal getting whitewashed, taken to the cleaners, courtesy of Mateta, Uncle Ayew, and Wilfred Zaha. I mean, if you're an Arsenal fan, are you panicking, or is this just a very, very, very bad day at the office? Because they have been in good form recently, or in recent weeks.
Yeah, I think it is just bad form. I think they were just very, very unlucky. I think Palace caught them by surprise. They may have underestimated Palace, actually, to be fair.
Can you afford to underestimate Palace? Vieira's Palace have been a good...
You can't. But with a lot of these Arsenal players, they know they've been playing well recently. I feel like they had a break. There was an international break. They couldn't just come into a Premier League game straight after an international break. I feel like we're going to pick up where we left off. I think that's very naive. Arsenal may have fallen into that trap, to be honest. And I think Palace and Vieira were aware of that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Credit's due to Vieira and Palace, because yeah, they really showed no fear. And I feel like with this Arsenal team, they were playing very well. There were even parts of the game, it was only really when they went down, and when Arsenal went down, where we could tell they started to pick up the game. They were moving the ball faster, but they were just getting desperate. Clutching at straws. But yeah, this was only really a game. It was a one-off game, to be honest, because if Arsenal played Palace 10 times, Palace are not winning that game 3-0. Let's be honest. Palace not being Arsenal 3-0 again.
I don't know. I think you'll give a little bit more credit to Palace. Obviously, they've done well this season. They've made it into the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. Or semi-finals, yeah. Can't remember. I feel like we should give a little bit more credit to Crystal Palace. Obviously, Vieira has come in and changed the philosophy, and he's got them playing a different way compared to what they were under Roy Hodgson. But yeah, I mean, Boaz, do you think Arsenal fans should be worried? Obviously, they've got a little bit of a mini injury crisis. Obviously, Tavares came in for Kieran Tierney, who we now know is out for the remainder of the season. Xhaka played as a left back. So they look a bit depleted in that position. Obviously, I'm hearing your favourite son, Thomas Partey, is going to have some scans after injuring his thigh, which So do you feel that's going to affect them in the top four charge? Arsenal fans be worried about that?
Maybe. And Tavares had a Tavares had a really bad game, to be fair. So, like, I wasn't surprised he got taken with a hard time. Yeah. Obviously, yeah, like, injury issues are an issue to some extent. But I think there's enough in that Arsenal team to keep them going. I think it was just a bad day in the office. Crystal Palace just were on fire, and I think they played well. Like, all of the people up front, like, from Mateta to Zaha to Anderson, Ayew, Gallagher, they all had really good games. And yeah, they were just on form, and maybe, yeah, the ref from the international break helped them. But no, I think Arsenal in their next game, I think they'll come back and yeah, turn up.
Yeah. That's I think that's the that's surprisingly positive. I'm quite I was expecting something different. It's almost as if you've warmed to Arsenal.
Oh, you know what? It's been weird. Like, I've been on a recent trend of saying positive things about Arsenal.
Yeah,
maybe I felt a little bit bad for them. I've been giving them a hard time. And I don't know. I think, yeah, they're playing decent football. Actually, like the football I'm seeing when I do watch them. So, it's
not did you say they were your favourites of the top four?
Out of them and Tottenham, I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'll get the Chelsea card.
Yeah, you know what? It's a hard, you know, that fixture just after the national break. It's a very hard time to really judge how well a team is going to play for in the next couple of weeks, because it could be a lot of tiredness and fatigue in it. But
I mean, let's not pretend that Crystal Palace players went out on international duty as well.
I mean, a fair few of them did go away. But yeah, for me, it's always the second game. It's always the second game. I think this weekend, I'll be able to give a very accurate and detailed analysis on what I think is going to be, what my predictions are going to be for the rest of the season, actually, based off next week.
Who have Arsenal got next week?
They got Brighton.
Okay, so you expect to win that. And have they got the Chelsea game after that?
The Chelsea game is
towards the end of April. They got Southampton after that.
Okay, so you would expect them to win those games.
They're coming both of them. Yeah.
Oh, they got. Well, I just realised they got us this month as well. That should be quite interesting.
And then they've got a very interesting. They got Chelsea, Man United, and I think who they have after that, West Ham.
Yeah, so I'll use the same rhetoric that I used for Chelsea. I think if Arsenal can avoid losses against the teams in and around the top six, then they can take that top four spot.
Yeah, I mean, if they fail to get 6 points out of the next two games. I would love to say, oh yeah, United can pounce on it, but I know what this United team is like.
You need to get Man United's name out of your mouth. That dream is sunk, mate. Let's get that
out. I wish I could be hopeful, but I mean, yeah, we all know what United is about nowadays.
It's the hope that kills you, man.
Mm-hmm.
Saying that, we're going to move on onto the table toppers, or one of the table toppers, Liverpool, who beat Watford. Looks like a pretty routine 2-0 victory, courtesy of Jota and Fabinho. Obviously, a lot of that can be the penalties, but yeah, I mean, was it a routine win for Liverpool, like the scoreline suggests?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, definitely a routine. Trent was very good.
And passing
it has been very good this season.
Back to his best.
Yeah, honestly, he's looking incredible at the moment. Salah was quiet.
Salah reverted back to type.
I would say Salah's not really on form right now, even international wise. And for Liverpool, he's just not on the ball at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's really not playing well. But a lot of the time, but the thing that, you know, that Liverpool team has got so many quality players around him that he doesn't have to actually be at his best in order for Liverpool to keep on getting wins. And to be playing well. They've got the likes of Salah, Mane and Jota, even Diaz. Diaz is a baller as well. So yeah, they've got a lot going for them for Liverpool. It's going to be a very tight title race. It's hard for me to really call it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's going to be my next question. Who sneaks it for you?
I would say it's hard because both City and Liverpool are in the Champions League too. They're both in very, very similar positions. But I'll probably say City. I think City might just nick it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. All right, what are your thoughts on Liverpool as if they will or they can win the title?
Well, do I think Liverpool win it?
Yeah, do you think they can win it over City?
No.
Or do you think they will?
No.
Why not?
Don't get me wrong, they do have ballers, but I think even in their last game, if it had to be another day, they could have lost that game.
Yeah.
Like, Watford had chances. If they were clinical, the result could have been very different. So I don't think that their games are as convincing as Man City, where I feel like when Man City play, I don't doubt that they'll win. Obviously, yeah, like all results don't go their way, hence why it's a tight race at the moment. However, I definitely think that I'm just more confident in the Man City team than the Liverpool team.
Yes, usually total control from City. With Liverpool, it feels like a bit of an NBA game sometimes when I watch them. It's almost like you have a shot, I have a shot. So they almost have full team's chances. And I don't feel as if you can do that. You're trying to win a title, or at least if you're coming up against a team in that ilk of Manchester City.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel as if they're much more of a much more structuralization. So yeah, I've already made my prediction anyway. I said that City will win it. But yeah.
Okay.
Speaking of City, 2-0 win over Burnley at Turf Moor. The robot KDB and Gundogan. What do we think?
Yeah.
Is it just another typical City performance like we've been discussing?
Yeah, it's very, very, very comfortable. I mean, Burnley were struggling. They are struggling. And yeah, I think so.
Beat Everton though.
They did beat Everton today, but Everton again.
Lampard tax.
I mean, what's it? Lampard was lost about what, 8 in 12?
Basically. I don't know how true this is, but I heard that there's going to be an emergency meeting.
Everton for Lampard.
Future Frank Lampard. So if there's any credibility to this, then it could be.
I wouldn't be surprised. I think he needs to be fired.
Yeah, it could be a nervous few hours for Frank Lampard.
But anyway, back to Man City. I think we played well. Like,
yeah,
nothing There's nothing really to say. Like, they did what they needed to do. They didn't put a foot wrong. Good performances all game round. Like, what more can you say?
Manchester City are just a scary prospect, man. They just make it look so. They make the Premier League look so easy, man.
It's
just ridiculous, man.
In a way, it's sad to see, but then it was quite impressive.
Yeah, you have to admire it. Like, you hate them as a team because you have to, but as a football fan, you have to tip your cap off because they are a very, very, very good team, and that's putting it mildly, to say the least. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how much further Pep can take the City team, if he can take them any further. Obviously, the Champions League will always be the talk of the town, but yeah, for what he's done in the Premier League, give him credit.
Credit is due to Pep. He's a game changer, man. But honestly, for City, if they don't win the Premier League, I feel like it could honestly be because it depends how far they go in the Champions League. Honestly, I think like the focus in the Champions League might have an impact into the Premier League, because obviously you know what Pep is like when it comes to changing the squad completely.
He said he likes to overthink. He even admitted it as much.
Yeah. But obviously, we all know that he'd rather prioritise the Champions League than the Premier League, even if he knows that it might be one or two points in between Liverpool and City. I don't think he would, if he don't win the league, he'd be so hard done by it if he did actually end up winning the Champions League as well.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But I feel like for Liverpool, I feel like they would prioritise the Premier League to the Champions League.
Do you agree with that? Do you agree with that, Boaz?
What, do I think they'll win the Champions League?
You think they'll prioritise it?
I think Pep wants to win the Champions League more than he wants to win the Premier League. Will they prioritise it? I'm not sure. Because I think Pep is also aware of the fact that, like, there's just rotten luck with regard when it comes to Man City and the Champions League. So I don't think he's going to put all his eggs in one basket. I think he's also risk averse. I definitely think at the back of his mind, if he had to, he would, rest, I don't know, De Bruyne in the Premier League to play in the Champions League game.
Yeah.
I think he would.
Definitely agree with that. I think that is it. We are currently recording at 20 minutes past 12 midnight. So I know we've gone on a few mini hiatuses in the past couple of weeks, but don't say we don't love what we do.
Yeah, we are now literally on that home straight. towards the end of the Premier League for this season. We're normal straight now, guys.
You can take his word for it.
Lastly, we'll go to player of the week. Who's the player that stood out for you this week, guys?
Oh, good question. I'm open to suggestions here.
I won't lie to you. I didn't watch all the Premier League games, man. I don't think I even.
Yeah. For me, for like sentimental sake, I'd probably give it to Eriksen. Because
I was going
to
do the same thing. As much as he's going against Chelsea.
Oh my God. Shout out to Eriksen. Going against Chelsea after his international exploits. Scoring again.
He was literally everywhere on that pitch. I saw his his touch maps. He was just everywhere.
He's just class, man. He's just class. He almost looked like the Eriksen of old, man. The one that we used to see play for Tottenham, man. Such a quality player, man. And he's definitely helped Brentford with their little
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, do you know what? For sentimental reasons, just for the fact that he's just a saucy, saucy player, I'm going to give it to Eriksen.
Yeah. He's done Christian Eriksen.
I think he scored twice for Denmark as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
No, good finishes as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, I'll give it to Eriksen. All right, we can move swiftly to flop of the week. Who is who's to hang their head in shame?
Tavares. Tavares.
Oh, Tavares. Yeah, that's that Ayew goal, man. Flipping up.
Like, I'm sorry, but like, it's been consistent as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't good.
Defensive would have been
a little bit harsh to Tavares.
Nah.
He's still young. I feel as if he's still got a lot of time to learn his trade. I feel like he didn't do terribly when he was playing at the start of the season. It's his first competitive game in a while, at least for Arsenal. So
I know, but even if you think about like the last game he played, which was a while ago, and I think he was subbed off as well. Yeah, it's just doesn't bode well. Like when he's given a chance, he doesn't turn up.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not gonna argue against the flop of the week because then I've got Ayew score against you, then you need to look at yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. Cool. Tavares it is.
Richard, are you gonna stick with Tavares or are you gonna go in a different direction?
You know what? Yeah, Tavares. I mean, yeah, he was shocking.
All right, I think it's pretty unanimous. I'm not even going to argue against that. So our flop of the week is Tavares. Arsenal fans, do not at me. guys, I think we'll wrap this up because it's past midnight now and I am hungry. So that should tell you everything of where I am today. Yeah. But yeah, guys, we'll catch you again next week in a bit.
Thank you for listening.